Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It is Tuesday, June 12th, 2018. We have 18 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. Today we're going to be talking about traveling at night at sea. And it obviously is different than during the day, but some of the very important things that you need to be aware of when you're out there at night. We have 18 vessels, as I said. We have 6 inbounders, 7 in the Astoria Anchorage. We have 5 outbounders. We'll talk about those in a minute. A little bit of marine weather on the Columbia River Bar this morning. Seas 3 to 4 feet. They're going to be building to about 7 feet during those max ebb current times, which are the times about halfway through the tidal cycle when the tide is falling or ebbing, when the current in the river just becomes really a force to be reckoned with. And that is especially at the mouth of the river on the Columbia River Bar, which is why it has its own separate forecast. So around 5 o'clock this afternoon and around 5 o'clock Wednesday morning, we're going to see that those very heavy currents and higher than normal seas around 7 feet. Overall, in the marine weather forecast, north winds 5 to 10 knots, wind waves from the north 2 feet high at about 4 seconds apart, matching those winds. And then we have west swells coming in from further out to sea, caused by conditions way far away from here, usually. And so today they're at right angles to one another. West swells 5 feet at 10 seconds, and north wind waves about 2 feet at 4 seconds. Could be a little bit of confused seas out there, but it looks like it's going to be a beautiful day. It's 60 degrees right now, and I guess it's going to warm up a bit later on. Let's take a look at our ship schedule for the day. 6 inbounders. One is the Polaris Ace, arriving from Tacoma. She's a car carrier with Hondas on board, headed for the port of Portland. She may be leaving with Fords when she leaves the port, probably within 24 hours, and heads back out to sea. Those brand new Fords from the U.S. will go to Asia. She will pass Astoria around 1:30 p.m. Look for a very high-sided, blocky-looking vessel. She's going to be at the port of Portland probably by about 7:30 this evening. The new Keeper is arriving from offshore, headed for the Astoria Anchorage. She's a bulk carrier going upriver to pick up wheat eventually. She'll be in the Astoria Anchorage probably by about 2:30 p.m. The Rodon Amarandan is arriving from Japan. She's headed for the Rice Island Anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria, sort of like an extension when you look at it visually from here, like an extension of the Astoria Anchorage up toward Tongue Point. She'll be arriving there about 6:30 p.m. The Asahi Bulker is arriving from China, headed for Vancouver, Washington. She is, I think, going to be picking up bentonite clay, which is one of its many uses, as I love to say, is kitty litter. But that's because it's a very absorbent clay material, and it's used in many industrial and food applications, actually, to clarify liquids and pull liquids out of things. So that's why it makes good kitty litter. She'll be passing Astoria probably around 9 p.m., and you might see her in the Vancouver area by about 3 a.m. tomorrow morning. The Aprilia is arriving from South Korea, headed for Astoria's anchorage, getting there around 10:30 p.m., and the Antares is arriving from China, headed for the Rice Island anchorage. She'll arrive there at about 11:30 p.m. I take a wild guess and say these ships probably be picking up something like wheat when they eventually head upriver. In the Astoria anchorage, we have the Salford. And this word is interesting. I've been pronouncing it K, but it's Q-U-A-Y. It's an interesting word. It can be pronounced key, K, or quay. It actually is another word for a wharf, a concrete, stone, or metal platform lying alongside or projecting into the water for loading and unloading ships. So you could say that the docks at the Port of Astoria could be called quays as well, or quays or k's, depending on how you decide to pronounce it. So she's going to be, she's in the Astoria Anchorage, the Salford Key, and she's going to be headed for the Rainier Anchorage opposite Longview. She'll be picking up weed eventually, and she'll be leaving around 10 a.m. Look for her in Rainier around 1:30 p.m. And those ships that anchor in the Rainier Anchorage on the opposite Longview there, they have anchors on both ends. They actually have some anchor buoys there, which the ships usually attach their sterns to the anchor buoys and put another anchor off the bow. And that means that they're protected from swinging an anchor there in a fairly narrow part of the river, which would create a hazard to navigation. The Little Prince is in the Astoria Anchorage, headed for Longview today to pick up wheat. She'll be leaving around 3 p.m. Look for her in the Longview area around 6:30 p.m. That leaves the Sea Melody, the Roscoe Lemon, the Lita, the Calliope L, and the Golden Rose awaiting orders. In our outbounders, the Ultra Innovation, leaving Portland carrying potash at about 2:30 a.m., will pass Astoria outbound around 8:30 this morning. The Achilles is leaving Vancouver, left Vancouver, the Anchorage around 6:30 a.m. That would put her past Astoria outbound around 12:30 p.m. The Bonita, heading out of Kalama around 9 a.m., could pass Astoria outbound around 2 p.m. The Britton Bay is leaving Longview with wheat at about 3:30 p.m. If she leaves at that time, she'll pass Astoria outbound around 7 p.m. And the Star Laguna is leaving Longview with logs on board around 5 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 8:30 p.m. And these departures and arrivals are all estimates. They can change because of changes in cargo orders for ships departing, and weather and other issues can cause ships arriving to slow down or speed up. So it's all kind of a, you know, look out the window, give you a general idea of when you might see a ship going by. Well, I saw an interesting article in a couple of places, but I found it on gcaptain.com, which is a great online website for maritime news, about a vessel that was towing pieces of a dry dock, a big dry dock in the waters off Bermuda. Something went wrong, and some of those pieces fell overboard. And so this article was a warning to people who were operating boats in this area that there are two large sections of a dry dock reportedly floating in the waters off Bermuda. Now, unlit was the key word that caught my attention here. So this means that if you were operating a vessel, there are these two big, huge things floating around unlighted, so that at night these would become a real, real serious navigational hazard, especially for smaller recreational vessels. So this was an article letting people know that they could expect to find these. I mean, it's kind of a needle in the haystack sort of thing, but it's kind of like a plane crash. Most planes are very, very, very safe, but if you're on one that isn't, it's an issue for you. And so that is kind of the way it is with running into things in big bodies of water. It's very, very rare, but when it does happen, it becomes an issue. So on the West Coast, we have had some issues with tsunami debris, floating logs that fall off ships, containers occasionally that fall off. Sometimes you'll hear of a vessel sinking because it hit something. They don't know what it hit, but it sank. So these kinds of things can happen, but there is the larger issue of traveling at night on the water, which is its own animal. So how do you handle this? If you've ever been out on the water at night, things look very, very, very different. So the way that ships handle this and things on land that people need to find, like ports, is that they have lights and sometimes they even have sounds like buoys. So buoys have patterns of flashing lights and patterns of sound in sound devices on them, so that you can look on a nautical chart and look at the flashing pattern and the sound pattern and determine which buoy you were looking at. So it gives you a way to orient yourself geographically. And then ships themselves and other vessels have lights on board, red and green lights and white lights, and they're put in particular places on each vessel, so that if you're looking at a vessel, you can tell how it's oriented toward you. Is it coming toward you? Is it going away from you? And so these are all ways that people handle things on boats when they can't see at night. And so if you watch vessels going by at night, you'll see those lights going by. And all that stuff means something, and mariners know about it to keep themselves safe. You've been listening to The Ship Report, show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.